Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
We are the Satellite Sisters. Welcome to the show. It is Saturday, June 18th, I have, by my count. I'm Liz Dolan. I'm here in Santa Monica, California. We do the show on Skype, connected to me in Dallas, Texas, my sister Julie Dolan. How are you doing there, Julie?
Howdy, Liz. Just fine. It's a little warm here. 102 is going to be the temperature today, but, you know, it's summertime in Texas, so no complaints.
Is that why you're saying howdy? Because I've never heard yes, you say that before. Because that's a little bit alarming, frankly. Oh, Julie, I had a Skype question I want to ask you because you lived in Russia for many years.
Yes.
When I leave my Skype on, like when we're not actually recording, but I leave it in online mode, every time I go back to turn it on, I have some very personal messages from people who call themselves premium Russian brides. and I'm just wondering if you get that or if you know of any premium Russian bride. Like, what's the deal with that? I'm assuming they're just scouring the internet for any action at all, right?
Yeah, just some lonely women. It's a big country, Liz, in Russia. And, you know, they're just looking out, reaching out to people. That's all I can assume. I don't know any lonely Russian brides, so I can't really say for sure. But that's my guess. But
Liz, I think they're barking up the wrong tree.
I think they're actually, hello, Monica, how are you? You're in Oregon?
If they're trying to get in contact with you. You don't need a lonely Russian bride, Liz.
Premium. I don't need a Russian bride of any kind. But premium is the interesting word to me. So, Monica Dolan, you live in Portland, Oregon, but you're joining us from beautiful central Oregon, downtown Bend. How is everything there?
Well, I wish it were beautiful here, Liz. Summer has not quite arrived here yet.
Really?
In Oregon, Liz. I put in some orders. I hope it arrives by the time you get here on the 4th of July.
I hope so too. I'm driving up.
But you know, I came over yesterday and we did have one day of summer yesterday. So Liz, I got busy. Our patio is open for business.
Right.
All I'm saying, I got out the patio furniture. I fired up the barbecue last night, so we have plenty of propane. That thing worked. I scrubbed the grill. I ask you, is there anything better than like a hose with a good power nozzle? I mean,
it's so satisfying, Monica. I agree.
It's unbelievable how great the hose is here, Liz. It's just, there's just so much water coming out of it. And you can just really like scrub things off. So I hosed everything down. Now I have to say, I have to ask you one thing, Liz. A couple of weeks ago, I got this mysterious like link. It was like, Monica, welcome to Crate and Barrel. What is that all about? Did you send that to me?
Oh, I don't think so. I thought I sent you a separate, I sent you an email because for those of you that don't know the backstory here, we have a little bungalow that, you know, the family shares in downtown Bend. Technically, I'm an investor. And I think
you are an investor, right?
And not everyone is. So I have a little bit of a, you know, people seem to turn to me for advice on what to do with the bungalow, even though I'm there way less than you are, Monica, right? You get a chance to enjoy it a lot. So I appreciate the fact that you will fire up the outdoor furniture and enjoy a good day with a hose, because that's not what I'm going to do when I get there on my
vacation. I know it isn't, Liz.
But it's part of Monica's concierge services, I think.
Exactly, Julie. That's how I'm going to market myself now to Liz.
Which I totally appreciate. I always have. And our brother Dick lives on a big ranch in Bend, Oregon, a little bit outside of town. So he's often there just with hammers and saws and doing things, right? We have like full-time handyman repair services in the form of our older brother, Dick, who actually built the house. So that's, you know, he's the other major investor in the whole bungalow operation. But I sent you an email, you know, maybe I did send a link too. It was a couple of weeks ago thinking, as long as I'm driving up from Southern California, one thing Bend does not have is any retail that would fall under the sort of Crate and Barrel, Pottery Barn, West Elm kind of good things inside and outside your house category. They've got your Home Depots, your Lowe's, your all of that. But the next step up, not so much in Central Oregon, right?
Right. Not here in Bend anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had just sent you an email saying, is there anything I should get from Crate and Barrel before I come? Is there anything that the house is crying out for that you know is not available in the local retail establishments through your farm supplies and things that they have in great abundance there in Bend?
So it's weird that the next day I got this welcome to Crate and Barrel email and I'm suddenly like in the Crate and Barrel family.
How do you feel about that, Mom?
I was just surprised. I mean, of course, I did some shopping online. I mean, I looked at things. I didn't buy anything. It just was sort of weird that you mentioned it in your email, and all of a sudden, Crate and Barrel's on to me, you know?
Okay, I did not enroll you for anything. I would never do that.
Okay, that's a little weird. Yeah, well, anyways, moving on, Liz. Today I was looking around for just a scrap piece of paper here in the house. We do need a pad of paper. And I was looking around for a scrap piece of paper, which, of course, I couldn't find. But I did find an old Nike shoebox full of, yes, electrical cord.
You know I always have a lot of both of those. I have a lot of Nike shoeboxes.
Chargers to random items. Chargers not connected to anything here. So good to know. We don't have one piece of paper in the house, but we have a big old box of electrical cords in case we want to plug anything in while we're over here.
Okay, good. Well, maybe I'll bring some things to plug in then.
Right. Well, Liz did fire up. You know, last year we had a little handy calendar, just a paper, low-tech calendar on the refrigerator, marking people's arrivals and departures. So I know we're going to have a lot of visitors this summer. Liz, you and Ferris are coming up. Right. Lee and her family. Apparently there's some lacrosse camps going to be here. So I filled in the calendar to the best of my knowledge. So there
right,
you go.
All right. And it sounds like it's just posted on the refrigerator.
It sounds like the concierge desk is really working well, Liz.
It is, Julie. Oh, I just need to get a hold of some scrap paper.
All right.
You got to get one of those pins for your outfits, too. You know how the concierges are always wearing certain pins? That would be good.
Like, ask me about the power cords?
Julie, do you have any 4th of July plans?
Well, 4th of July is going to be right here in Texas, Liz. But, you know, I got a call. I talked to Mom last week, and our mother was in Santa Monica, and she has been looking for 4th of July paraphernalia. She wanted napkins. She wanted plates. And we had this long discussion on the telephone about how she could not find any 4th of July stuff in Santa Monica, California. She, you know, our mother doesn't drive, so she is walking around to all these different stores, and she's coming up empty with 4th of July stuff. Now, she had a lot of theories about why there was no 4th of July paraphernalia in Santa Monica. I don't know. But
are some of them political?
Political.
Liberal media? That's exactly what I was thinking.
That I said, and so when she started down that avenue of sort of hypotheses, I said, well, you know, it's not a problem here in Texas. We really celebrate the 4th of July. And you know, our mother loves to celebrate. How much Mom loves to celebrate 4th of July? It was one of her best holidays. We used to always do it at the beach, and we would have a picnic supper at the beach and watch the fireworks. But it wasn't a simple picnic supper, was it, sisters? No. It took days to amass.
And days,
It was lobster, and she had tablecloths, and she had centerpieces, and she had after dinner mints. And, you know, it was an extravaganza, and she loved to do that. So I said to her, look, Mom, don't worry. I'll go get you some stuff. And so I went to the stores here in Dallas, and I started off just getting her some, you know, flag cocktail napkins. And then I thought, you know, it's Mom. Okay, I'll buy the paper plates with the blue stars on them because she'll like those a lot. And then, of course, there were matching the blue plates with stars. They came in two sizes. There were some really cute firecracker napkins, like big dinner napkins.
Oh, she's got to have those.
So I went for those two. And then I saw Monica, they had these adorable firecracker candles. So they look like firecracker, like rockets, little rockets, but they're candles. And I could just imagine Mom, you know, using these as for her, the centerpiece for the 4th of July. And so I boxed it all up. And of course, because I didn't want her to worry that I wasn't going to be able to send it. And I just didn't like the idea of her sort of wandering around in Santa Monica searching for flag napkins. So I sent it UPS. I think I paid an extra $3 to make sure that it got there quickly, you know, because I just wanted her to have it.
Yeah, because it's the 19th or 18th of June. So.
I know, but
ooh,
you know,
we're cutting it close.
It's the 4th of July, Liz, and you know Mom likes to start early on her holidays, and if she was going to do a centerpiece with the firecracker candles, I wanted her to be able to see what those looked like. So I mailed it off, got it off all there early, and I called her again this week, and I said, you know, I just want you to know, just you can rest assured, you can stop searching in that socialist town of Santa Monica. For
yes, those commies that run Michael's craft shop.
Right. Okay. I just wanted her to stop, not to worry. I said, I've put together a whole box, Mom, and I've sent it to you. And she said to me, she said, oh, that's great, because I want to give Liz some things to take up to Ben.
Yay!
For the 4th of July.
So, Monica, if you've been looking around in Central Oregon for firecracker candles, you can just stop.
Can you believe that? So, Liz, I have done all your 4th of July shopping for you. And you girls better put together a 4th of July centerpiece that includes these very expensive firecracker candles that were a total waste of money now that I know that they are going to you. I thought they were for Mom. I didn't realize she was giving them to you, Liz. You, the person in America least likely to make a 4th of July centerpiece with firecracker candles. Okay, you've got some. Okay, so you better live it up.
Okay, all right. Well,
Julia, I'm going to make that centerpiece. I'm going to take a picture on my $2 cell phone, and I'm going to send it to you.
Okay, thank you.
I hope you'll be satisfied as part of my concierge service.
We'll have to post that on the Satellite Sisters blog, Julie, so that everyone can see that Monica came through with the supplies. Well, I was thinking as you were, okay, now that I know we'll have that stuff, that I'll be driving it. It's funny to have UPS drive it to California, and now I will be driving it to Oregon. Okay, not the best use of fossil fuels, but fine. Okay, and but I drive to Oregon with my dog Ferris because he insists on participating in the classic 4th of July pet parade in downtown Bend. So I'm thinking maybe some of this paraphernalia could be used in his costume for the parade.
Okay, Liz, absolutely not. No. These are napkins, Liz, and cocktail napkins and paper plates and firecracker candles. No, they don't go on a dog.
I'm thinking a hat made out of a paper plate and a firecracker candle
would be so cute, Liz.
Would be very cute on a Wheaton Terrier.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I probably won't have the energy. Don't worry. I won't have the energy to do that either. So, okay. Looking forward to getting all that junk in the back of my car.
You won't have time to stop at Crate and Barrel now, Liz. You won't have any room.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful yeah. glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SAD Sisters. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SAD Sisters at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and
for
chilling
sure.
there
yes.
with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's I mean, great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because yeah. it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free-for-a-year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
All right. So that is our 4th of July holiday around the Satellite Sisterhood. If you have big plans, let us know what they are. Go to the blog, email us. Our email is sisters@satellitesisters.com. So...
Well, but dogs were making very big news this week.
Julie, we were going to talk about our new archives.
Oh, right? My goodness. Let's do that. Yes.
We're going to get to the dogs. I agree. Yes, I saw that story and I immediately knew that sisters would have opinions on that. but as long as we were talking about the blog and the website and the email, we have many exciting things finally happening at SatelliteSisters.com and at iTunes. So you know how we've been threatening since the beginning of the year to post the expanded Satellite Sisters archives. Well, it's there, people. It's now. You can push the button. You can find it. We have 200 shows that are now available to you that were previously unavailable in our archive. So, you know, come on. 200 shows.
I mean, it's really impressive. When you go to iTunes and you click on Kids and Family or Family and Kids, and there it is. It just loads it all out. 200 shows. Now, the first time I did
it... Can I just say, Julie, the best thing to do is not to go to Kids and Family. If we're going to give people the simplest possible explanation for how to find it...
Okay, sorry.
You need to
About that, sister.
You just need to... That's not where it is. You need to search on Satellite Sisters. That's the key thing. Because we're actually in two categories on iTunes. The shows have all loaded into the Kids and Family section because that's where we used to be. And they've also loaded into the Comedy section because, really, frankly, that's where we belong. So you can find it in either place. But the key is to just search on Satellite Sisters, and then you will be able to click on either one of those two things. You'll see both of the Satellite Sisters icons, and then you'll get to the rest of what you were about to explain, Julie. So go for it.
Which was the first time I clicked on it, it looked like there were only 50 shows. But if you keep clicking, then the whole 200 shows appear. So don't be disappointed if the first time you go there, you only see 50 shows.
Yes, the key is to scroll down.
Scroll down,
even if it's 50 per page, but if you just scroll down, you'll see the whole several hundred shows will start to. And then if you want to, have you downloaded them all, Julie?
Well, I'm trying to download them all, Liz. Here's my technical question for you and Monica. Is there some easy way, rather than just choosing each show, 200 shows, I don't want to do that. Is there some way that you can download all 200 shows at the same time?
Yes, there is. If you go to...
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Science.
If you only because we've been doing some troubleshooting on our end, right, Monica? You had to figure it out, and it
user
worked for
testing
you.
Going on.
Yes, we are our own beta testers, and now the rest of the Satellite Sisterhood can be super beta. If you're in your iTunes library, so and you click on podcasts, so that's where all of your podcasts will load. Once you're looking at what's in your library already, you go down to the bottom there and you'll see a button that says Settings. If you click on Settings, that will open, and the top of that says Check for New Episodes, and, you know, you should just click every day, whatever. There's a drop-down menu, you have a choice. And then you set your own podcast defaults, but then below there it says When New Episodes Are Available, then you have another drop-down menu where your choices are Do Nothing, Download the most recent one, or download all. Well, obviously, we don't want you to do nothing. And downloading the recent one will be one. If you want 200, you just click download all, because these will all be considered new by your computer because they've just recently been uploaded. So you choose download all. And then underneath that, it says episodes to keep. And in another drop-down menu, you have choices from 2 episodes, 10 episodes, most recent episodes, or all episodes. We would recommend, because you know this is how much you care about your Satellite Sisters archive, that you just check all episodes. So remember to set download all, and then keep all episodes, and then you will always have at least 200 episodes of Satellite Sisters there waiting for you. And obviously, as we continue to add to the archive, and as we continue to produce new shows, you will still automatically get those every time you go to your iTunes library and press refresh. Did I explain that right, Monica?
Yes, you did, Liz.
Okay. It was impressive, wasn't it, Monica? I thought you
did. Well, I knew once Liz got going, there was no stopping her with that explanation.
Well, the trick is to be simple, because I get confused half the time I go to iTunes. Don't you? I mean, they say it's really simple, but it's not as simple as they promise. So making sure your settings are correct, and then also making sure when you go back to iTunes that you're pressing the refresh button when you're in your own library. Then you're always, if you subscribe to Satellite Sisters, you're always going to get our shows. So then what's happening over on the website? Monica, do you want to explain what the new experience is there in the archive?
Well, we have also uploaded a lot of those shows from satellitesisters.com. So on our main page where it says listen to the show, if you click on that, there's now a button, a drop down that says Archives. Click on Archives, and you can also get all of the archive shows we have uploaded there. We're still working on like 2005, 2006, but most of the shows from like 2008 are there now, and the rest are coming soon, as they say.
Yes. So our webmaster, Sarah, who really has been working hard doing this, I know it seems simple, but we moved everything over to new servers. We have a whole new way of uploading it. I mean, behind the scenes at Satellite Sisters TOC, it's been complicated. So we're thinking that maybe next week on the show, don't you think we should have Sarah Sweeney as a special guest and she can explain anything we still don't understand? I think that would be fun.
A whole Ask Sarah segment. That sounds great, Liz.
Hey, well, we haven't really gotten Sarah's approval to do that yet. But anyway, so I would just say, if you're unfamiliar with how some of these things work, just test things out this week. You'll find if you click on the right combination of things, sooner or later, you will be able to either download all the shows and always save them if you like working in iTunes. But if you don't and you just always want to go to satellitesisters.com, they're always there for streaming or downloading right there. So if iTunes is a bridge too far for you, just go to the archive, as Monica said, and you can just sit and listen to anything. It's all there. And you know what? Even if not all of these shows are new, many of them will be new to you, or you will have forgotten them for the first time around. And I personally find they're even funnier the second time around. I just do.
They're classic shows. They're great.
Yeah. And the so enjoy that, and there's more to come on that. And if you do have any specific questions about this, you can email them into us. It's hard for us to really do troubleshooting on your computer, right? So some of this has to do with you and your computer and your settings, and we're not going to be able to figure that out.
But if so, the subtext there is, do not call Liz. She is... she is not going to help you.
Right. And for God's sakes, don't call Liam. Because she is not going to help with that either. She tries. She does the best she can answering a lot of this mail, but there are just limits. So, oh yeah. So here's me. Rather than emailing us, you probably have some teenagers in your life. Go get one of them. They're going to be able to figure out how to do this better than we can on your individual, whether it's a computer or, you know, I download everything to my phone now. I actually have all of my podcast archives on my iPhone.
Really, Liz? Yeah.
It's really fun. Like, I listen to Leon's, Leon does the Chaos Chronicles podcast every week. I have all of that on my phone now, and it automatically downloads. And it's fun. Just, you know, sometimes you're sitting in your car in traffic, and listening to that is better than what's on the radio. So,
Liz, I'm doing all podcasts all the time now on my drives back and forth between Portland and Bend. And I listen to Chaos Chronicles, old Satellite Sister shows, which I agree, they are pretty funny the second, third, fourth time around. I've just given up on the radio, driving over here and back. It's just so much more enjoyable to have a couple of hours worth of podcasts.
Yeah, so check it out. Let us know how it's working for you. I'm sure it's going to work fine. It'll work fine. So, but give us some comments on the blog if there's anything in particular that you're grateful for. So you're allowed to post anything along those lines. All right, now back to regularly scheduled programming. Julie,
to the dog news.
Can we talk about the dog news? Yes.
Can we talk about it? Headline news last week, New York Times, or this week in the New York Times. About the $230,000 German Shepherds that you can order, I guess, if you want an executive security dog. Did you see this story, Monica, in the paper?
Yes, I saw it.
I mean, this is incredible. These are highly trained dogs, and many people, I guess many very wealthy people, well, you don't need that many people, but wealthy people who want another layer of security for their family are buying these dogs, these highly trained dogs. They're trained by the trainer, got started in the business because he worked with dogs during the Iraq War. So he, you know, these are really specialized dogs. But I was surprised at the price, $230,000.
That is surprising. Yes.
I mean, it made me think. Leanne has always had German Shepherds. Now she had her current German Shepherd, Mia, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm not sure that she would be able to command that same kind of money, the $230,000, as an executive security dog. Because I haven't seen Mia as much as you have, Liz. But when I'm with Mia, mainly she just jumps up on the couch. That seems to be her big talent.
Well, if you're afraid of someone stealing your couch, she's the security dog for you.
Here's the thing about Leon and her German Shepherds, though. Even though Mia may not be the cutting edge of executive security, I'm sure Leon would argue that even the dumbest German Shepherd is smarter than the smartest other breed of dog. That's how strongly she feels about German Shepherds.
Yes, indeed. I know she has written about this at Chaos Chronicles. So if you go to Chaos Chronicles, she doesn't believe that Mia could command $230,000, but she does believe that Mia has many talents and she should have a high price tag associated with her, which got me thinking about my own dog, Zorro, who is a English black lab. Okay. And I was trying to think, like, what skills would he have? Marketable skills does he have? And certainly security is not one of them, because you can come in my house anytime and this dog is not, he's either not going to get up to say hello to you, or if he is, he's going to come over and wag his tail. So security is not really his thing. But what he does have a great deal of talent, and I believe that there is some market for this, is that if you are, let's say, bedridden, or if you are, like, you know, in bed rest, you're an executive and you go to the doctor and the doctor says,
doctor puts you on executive bed rest.
Executive bed rest. I have the dog for you, because really what Zorro does best is sleep. And he senses when you would like to sleep too. So he likes to sleep with his owner. So I believe he's an executive sleep dog is what he comes with snoring, which is a nice option to have. That I many people find that very comforting,
like a white noise.
It is, Monica. But Liz, I don't know, Ferris, I don't know if you feel like Ferris, if you were going to market Ferris and any of his skills, what he might be able to command.
I think if you perceived as an executive, if you were an executive whose main security threat came from squirrels
and pugs,
squirrels and pugs, both of which he gets very, very excited about, then I think he's the dog for you. If you think there's like gang of pugs down the road that is about to mount a major attack on your executive estate, he is going to know they are coming. And and the squirrel thing, you know, a lot of dogs, a lot of breeds have the squirrel skills, but the combo squirrel pug thing, if that's what you're on the market for, man,
a lot of executives don't like squirrels.
Or pugs.
Yeah.
So, and there are executives that need bed rest. So I think that, so again, so I think this is a whole new avenue, Liz, that you know, as a marketing executive, that I think you could really take a look around, you know, at the dog skills, and you could go into dog marketing consulting, perhaps.
Right. Because there are bound to be some other niches besides security, I think is your point, right?
Exactly.
But executives need more than just security. They need
certainly
sleep mates and squirrel alarms and all kinds of things. Okay. All right. That's all right. A good one, Joel. There's some money to be made there for sure.
Hey, on a more serious note, in terms of other news this week, you know, Friday, June 17th, when we talk about the Arab Spring, there were demonstrations, very, very courageous demonstrations in Saudi Arabia. You know, Saudi Arabia is the only country in the Middle East where women are not allowed to drive, which it's incredible. I mean, it's such an incredible thing. And so women on Friday were trying to mount a protest to earn the right to drive in Saudi Arabia. But only small numbers went out, and they had five women that were driving around in a parking lot, and they all got arrested. And they are now charged with 2 years in prison.
Really?
For driving around in a parking lot. So, I mean, we've seen so many acts of courage this spring by other people throughout the Arab world, you know, standing up for democracy. And here you have women. And really, all that, you know, when they're interviewed, you know, all they want to do is to be able to drive themselves, to be able to go from point A to point B and not have to involve their husband or their brother, or what is the local custom is that you have to hire a driver. Saudi Arabia has about 800,000 drivers from other Asian countries that work in Saudi Arabia driving women around. So even it's sort of weird because men and women in Saudi Arabia are not allowed to be alone together. That's against the law. But somehow you can have a male driver drive females around in a car, and that's okay. So
you know what it reminded me of, Julie? I was thinking about when we had Dorothy Thomas on the show. Monica Dorothy Thomas, in addition to being a world famous human rights activist and MacArthur genius, was also your college roommate, correct?
Correct.
And when we talked, and she had just recently been named MacArthur genius when she came on Satellite Sisters. And one of her points is that often in these human rights movements, these big political actions, and she'd been involved in a number of liberation movements in Africa and in other parts of the world, that the sort of women's rights issues get totally left behind. And I remember her saying, they always turn to you and say, we'll worry about that later. And I think we've seen this now in Afghanistan, that at first there was this whole sort of blossoming of, you know, women are throwing off their burqas and girls are going back to school. And now that rolls back. And even in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, you know, as people are starting to sort of demonstrate more for the rights they want, women are still so far behind in being able to speak out. And people see it as a completely secondary and almost unrelated issue to political freedom. So I say, good for you. Get behind the wheel, drive around. I was thinking to myself, though, I wouldn't necessarily have wanted to be on the roads with a lot of first-time drivers driving around. I don't care what their gender is. You get a lot of people out there that have never driven before.
Yeah, you're right, Liz.
That's a good day to stay home.
There's some safety issues there, but they are trying to use new social media to get the word out there. And at least one of the Saudi princes is in favor of this. But I mean, it really, for many men, you know, in Saudi Arabia, they feel like, you know, this is the line, literally the line in the sand, and that they have to hold the line, and that if they let women drive, you know, all hell's going to break loose. So.
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do. because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Hey, it's Liz and Leon here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leon, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Lee and Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, pros, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Lian's. Okay? And I'm using it. Pros isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, pros, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Lian and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros.
All right. So Monica, next up on the list is you work in a very exciting field, which occasionally there's news breaking in the science that you work in. So you had some news you thought you wanted to share?
Well, you guys know I work in stroke research. So I'm a research coordinator at a university hospital, and we treat patients that are having acute strokes. And we also do all kinds of studies for people, preventative medicine, so prevent them from having other strokes. But there was stroke news this week. Came out, yes, which is exciting for me. But it was results of this European study, and it showed that heavy olive oil use. So they called it intensive use of olive oil, which would mean you use olive oil in cooking, make salad dressings, dipping bread. They even elaborated on that. That if those people had they cut their risk of stroke by 41%, which is huge.
Wow.
So Liz, when I read that, guess what I did on the way down here? I went out and bought a gigantic bottle of olive oil for Ben as part of my concierge services. I mean, that's a huge thing, you know, that to cut your risk of stroke by 41%. You think, oh, all I have to do is eat a lot of olive oil. I mean, there are other factors too.
Right. But there's probably no medicine that would cut your risk of stroke by 41%, right? There's no pill you could take that would be that effective.
I don't think so, Liz. I don't think so. But, you know, it was an observational study. So they just looked at people in all these European countries and, you know, who had strokes and who didn't, and looked really carefully at their diets. But I'm thinking maybe this could be a whole new, like, area of research for me. Food. delicious foods and stroke. And I'm going to maybe go back to my boss and propose that there may be a little special division of our department, because there was a study that came out last year. They're talking about dark chocolate,
right,
and dark chocolate reducing your risk of stroke. So I'm thinking olive oil, dark chocolate. Those are the kind of studies I need to get on.
Absolutely. It seems like your office could turn into one of those gourmet grocery stores where they give out a lot of free samples.
Exactly, Julie.
So you could have an olive oil dipping station, and you could have a little chocolate bar going. And
exactly. It would be way more fun than the stuff we're working on now.
Okay. Well, I know that in the bungalow in Bend, it's not like we have a lot of kitchen supplies, but we do have a whole dipping set
that
Dick gave you for Christmas last year. So we can do a lot of dipping over the 4th and use up all those American flag napkins. There you go.
It's going to be quite a party up there.
And you have another party planned there, Monica, later in the summer?
I do. Well, you know, I'm organizing a college reunion of sorts here in Bend, and we've settled on a date of late September. So this will be there'll be 8 of us. So, you know, 8 including me, of my college friends. We graduated from school 30 years ago.
Whoa.
Yikes. There was an official, we had our official class reunion this year, but no one went because I don't know. just too far to go. So I'm kind of nervous about it. I mean, I'm excited because I've never really planned anything this big except for Dad's 80th birthday party, which, you know, Mom was shocked that I could have pulled off something like that without her because it was a surprise party. Right. So, you know, it's really exciting. So the seven friends, they're coming from the East Coast, Colorado, California. We're going to do like a Thursday night to Sunday thing. And we're going to stay here in this little bungalow. And then Liz, I got an overflow rental.
Oh, a backup bungalow?
A backup bungalow around the corner, because, you know, when you're over 50, you just can't have people sleeping on the floor.
Yeah, no.
I mean, it's fine when you're in your 20s, and we certainly could stuff 8 people in this house, but it wouldn't be as comfortable. So I got this overflow bungalow. I've already rented it, sent out the emails. It's just a lot of fun to do the planning. But I have to tell you, I hate to sound like Mom, but I'm already starting to get really concerned about the menu planning. Julie, I may need your help.
Well, you probably will have some cocktail napkins left over so you can plan that. But, you know, Monica, because I get together with my friends, you know, everybody comes and they want to cook. So
I know they do.
So you can, you know, I mean, because everyone's traveling, it's not like they can bring food, but, you know, you can certainly just, you know, you can cook easy meals together. That's really, really fun to do. And the other piece of advice I would give is don't plan too much, you know, because mainly what your friends like to do is you want to sit around and talk. So,
exactly.
You know, you don't want to, you know, I know people like to book massages or, you know, stuff like that, but, you know, that just takes time away from the group. And really what you want to do is hang around together, have some nice meals, take a couple of walks, but really just spend a lot of time talking with each other. Isn't that the best?
That's exactly what we're planning to do. I do have a couple of activities, but they involve walking and talking.
Yes, I think that's good. That's good. And Monica, you may want to get some small item as a little gift, a welcome gift to each of your friends, something from Bend, something that says, "Welcome to Bend." Now, you know, I'm having my girlfriends here in September, and so I bought each one of them a
cowboy hat.
No, not a cowboy. No, that's no. Seriously, a packet of Blue Bonnet flower seeds, so that they can take that home and plant Blue Bonnets wherever they live.
Julie, I'm writing these tips down.
That's very sweet. That's very sweet.
And it's something, it's little. You can put that on their pillows and say, welcome.
So you don't think a 6-pack of microbrews from a local brewery would...
You can't get those on an airplane. That's the problem.
It's more than
3 ounces of liquid.
Yes.
But Monica, I was also just thinking, you and your college friends all graduated from Georgetown. I'm going to be in D.C. all this week. I'm going tomorrow. I'll be there all week. If you'd like me to spin by the college bookstore and pick up some knickknacks as gifts, just let me know. I could squeeze that into my calendar if you needed
some
Hoya napkins.
Yes, a packet of Hoya napkins. See, again, easy to pack. And nice and light. And it's just a little gesture. It makes it fun.
Julie, I love that idea. I'm writing it down. Just as soon as I get the menu figured out.
You can just assign that to Mom. You know she'll spend all day and all night thinking about it until September.
So okay.
I would outsource that. Or at least outsource the worrying part of it, because she so enjoys worrying about stuff like that.
Or, you know what? Or another thing you could do is you can assign teams, like make, you know, a couple of girls cook dinner on Thursday night, or you cook the welcome dinner.
Yes, and then I'm planning to cook the welcome dinner.
So have somebody else cook the Friday night dinner and somebody else, other team, cook the Saturday night dinner. That's what you do. And then they can discuss and worry amongst themselves. That's a great way. They can do their shopping when they're in Bend, but they can already have their menu planned, and then they'll do the shopping, and they can be the lead cooks that night.
Wow. All good ideas. Thank you, Julie. Because planning 3 dinners is a lot for me.
Right. And it's, you know, and it gets expensive to go out to dinner. So you do the welcome dinner and have the make teams with the other
the red team and the blue team. Or does Georgetown have colors? What are you, silver and black or something?
I don't, a gray and blue.
Gray and blue. So you have a gray and a blue team.
I had to think about that for a minute because it has been 30 years.
Okay. All right. If anyone has any recommendations for Monica about organizing a homespun college reunion, just send those in. But you know what? I also needed some recommendations, and I'm open for suggestions from anyone. I need a good summer book. When I drive up to Oregon for the 4th of July, my little tradition with myself is that I get a great audio book because it's a 14-hour drive. And so it's basically one full day and then half of a second day, the way I do it. So I get a great audio book, something that I think I would never get around to actually reading as a book, you know, because it would just be too big and intimidating to actually pick it up and read it. But somehow when you're on the road and you're just headed up I-5 and you have some great actor or a great writer telling you a wonderful story, it's a great way to pass the hours on an interstate. So if anyone has any recommendations of something like that, that I should download and listen to on my way to Oregon for the 4th of July, send that in.
Liz, I have one for you. I would recommend Cutting for Stone. I don't know if you've read that book yet, but it is a fantastic tale. And once you get into the story, it takes off. It's very involving. It's very dramatic. And I think you can go at least 600, 700, maybe even the full trip, on this book.
You know, it's funny, Julie, that you mentioned that because my book club read that book. And
yes.
I actually bought it, but then never got around to reading it because I knew that I wasn't going to be able to make the meeting. So I have it in book form kicking around somewhere at home, but I don't mind also downloading the audio. You know, if
it's a great tale. It really is. So that would be my recommendation.
Okay. I also like histories and things like that, you know, like nonfiction books. Last year, my book of choice driving up to Oregon was Sebastian Younger's book, War, about Afghanistan.
Oh.
And so it was the book that was also connected to the documentary Restrepo that was nominated for an Academy Award. And Tim Hetherington, who was his partner in doing the movie and who's in the book, he was just recently killed in Libya covering that war. But anyway, Sebastian Younger is a great writer and he's a great reader. He has a great voice. And I felt like I really learned a lot about the war in Afghanistan that I never would have learned if I didn't make a 14-hour commitment to having him tell me that story. So
okay, that's a good recommendation.
I'm willing to go in a direction like that too. Monica, you got anything?
Yeah, I have a recommendation for you because I just read this book and I think it would be good on an audiobook, The Hemingses of Monticello.
Oh, I have read about that.
An American Family. It was fascinating, Liz. And I know you like history. So it's the story of Thomas Jefferson and his slave, Sally Hemings. And they had four children together. And, you know, it was just this sort of multi-generational tale about Thomas Jefferson and his family. And it's all about slavery and the American Revolution. And then there are those years where Thomas Jefferson goes to Paris and lives in France and comes back. And it's all about building Monticello. Mainly it's about slavery. And it's it's really, really a fascinating story. I highly recommend it.
Oh, that sounds great. I would really enjoy that. That's
a little bit heavy in parts with, you know, it was written by this Annette Gordon Reed, and she's a legal scholar. So a little bit heavy in parts about the law and legal history, but you could skip over that. Mm-hmm.
Liz wouldn't skip over that because it's part of her legal training.
It's a fascinating book. I absolutely loved it. And then I recently read Columbine. About the history of the Columbine shooting. And so I read two pretty heavy books in a row. And I need something light.
You do. Wow. Those are two heavy ones back to back. Okay, well, you know, Liam's working on that list. Every summer at SatelliteSisters.com, we post our list of best beach bag books. And when we say our list, we really mean Liam's list, because she does all the work on this usually. I don't know if you guys have made any recommendations this year, have you?
Well, all my choices were very heavy, so I think they got rejected. So it's mainly Leon's list. Yes, I think that would be fair to say.
So the best beach bag book list is going to be posted on satellitesisters.com next week. And I suspect, Monica, that there's something in the light, beachy category that's going to work for you.
Good.
So I don't know what she's got on the list yet, but I would keep an eye out for that. And then we still get so many books sent to us at Satellite Sisters. My sisters know that all of that mail comes to me, and all of those books are in the back of my car. And so every time we're at some family thing together where I'm unloading or loading, you know, a lunch or a beach umbrella or whatever it happens to be, everyone looks at the entire library I have in the back of my car and they pick what they would like. So Monica, I'll take a look in the trunk and see if there's anything good for you. I'll bring it to Ben. I'll bring, you know, last year I brought like 100 books up there for to leave in the house. So I'm not sure
you're going to have room with the firecracker centerpiece. But yeah, yes, definitely bring any book that looks fun.
Okay, I will do that. And then what else? Oh, one last thing I wanted to tell you guys, because this is just so funny. And what I enjoy about it is that I am totally staying out of it. In my building, and you know, there's been some bad blood here before between the various neighbors.
Yes, indeed.
On issues, some of them important and some of them totally trivial. And so it's an emotional roller coaster, and there are certain people that really you don't want to run into in the garage if you can possibly avoid them. And because there are only 14 units in my building, so it shouldn't be this way. I used to try to fix this. I used to like host get-togethers at my place and see if we could. Why can't we all just be friends? And I've just given up on that. So and here's the latest evidence that it was worth giving up on. We now have a complete hedge war that has broken out in front of the building. And by hedge war, I mean my building is on the corner of a number street and a state street. So we'll just call it that. And on the state street side, everybody on the first floor has little balconies there, and there's a hedge directly in front of their balcony, and then there's the sidewalk, and then there's, you know, the street and the parking and whatever. Well, the hedges were very tall. They were very overgrown, but it's because one neighbor down there liked what she called the added security of having these huge overgrown hedges.
I think she needs a German Shepherd, but go ahead.
So the neighbor directly next to her decided that it wasn't really adding security. It was really just adding cover for evildoers to have these huge overgrown hedges, and that the building would actually look better if the hedges were trimmed back to the balcony level. So she just went ahead and trimmed her own hedge. So back down to, so if you can imagine, you're walking along the state street, and it's like 12-foot, 12-foot, 12-foot hedge, and then all of a sudden 5 feet, 5 feet, 5 feet, 5 feet, and then it goes back up, then it goes back up to 12 feet to the rest of the corner. So that was the first salvo in hedge wars. And I just decided, it just made me laugh every time I looked at it, and I decided to not say anything to anyone, even though I am, of course, on the board of the Homeowners Association and probably should have taken a position on this. Then a week later, I noticed that the guy at the end obviously likes the new look, the lower look, but he doesn't want it quite that low. So he has his hedge trimmed, so he's now like 6 feet, 7 feet. So now, coming from the corner, you have like 7 feet, 12 feet, 5 feet, 12 feet. And now, everyone, there are 6 units along that side. Every single person has now trimmed their hedge to a different height. It's like they will begrudgingly admit that the hedges should be lower and they should be trimmed, but they refuse to agree on what the height is. And now it's just, you look at it and it's like a 5-year-old with missing teeth. That's what the building looks like when you're across the street looking at it. It just really makes me laugh. And I don't know how we are going to come to any kind of an armistice over this hedge war. Like, are we really just going to let people trim their hedges whatever height they want in front of their unit? I don't know. But if you're driving around Santa Monica and if you see a building that looks like a 5-year-old with missing teeth, well, that would be me. It's just too hilarious. And I'm just sitting back watching the whole thing happen.
Really, I think that's smart, Liz. Do not, you know, do not voice an opinion about hedges, you know. I think
that's the advantage to being on the, you know, on the upper floor. It's not, the hedge does not affect me. And even though it should be a group decision, whatever. You people want, okay, whatever, go for it. So Hedge Wars, just thought I would fill you in. They've broken out. Not sure how we're going to settle that. But
are they going to start painting their section of the condominium their own color next? Do you think that, you know, that's the next step in individualizing their condominiums?
Julie, it's funny that you mentioned that, because the owner who fired the first shot in Hedge Wars, I've also seen her out in the public space of the building sanding down a wall. Like, as if in preparation for some kind of paint job. So I think you put your finger on it. I think we're on some slippery slope here where stuff is just going to start happening. People are going to unleash what they want to do because there has been this complete inability to come together as a group and decide how to improve things. Everybody's just going to make their own personal improvements.
I can't wait to see your building the next time I'm out in California, Liz.
Come on by. Maybe you can have some sort of counseling session. Julie, you're a peacemaker. You could bring the parties together and see if we could come up with a group solution.
But I'd be happy to facilitate your neighbors, Liz, for a small fee. I think I would be willing to do that.
Okay. All right. And if anyone has...
Hey, we certainly want to wish Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, all the fathers-to-be, grandfathers, stepfathers, any kind of father. We wish you a very happy day tomorrow, right?
Yeah, we're having a beach rendezvous with our father. So that would be myself, our sister Sheila in Pasadena, our sister Leon in Pasadena, and our brother Brendan in Irvine, and various nephews will all be on the beach here tomorrow morning, no matter what the weather is our plan, you know. Mom wanted plan A, plan B, plan C. We're like, there is no plan B or plan C. We are going to the beach no matter what. And you know, it's Santa Monica. It's not going to rain. It might be a little cloudy, but we're perfectly happy to be at the beach on a cloudy day. So that's where we're going to be. And I'm sure it will be delightful. Mom called me this morning to say that she was already making the roast beef sandwiches. So, okay.
They'll be ready.
And I wouldn't be surprised to see a few 4th of July napkins get busted out early.
You just wait, Liz. They are adorable. Wait till you see those firecracker candles. They're adorable. I mean,
all right. Well, I'll probably see them tomorrow when I pick up Mom and Dad. There will be some attempt to hand them over to me. So, all right. This has been fun, sisters. We'll do it again next week. And don't forget, go to the archives on the SatelliteSisters.com site, and you will be able to listen to all kinds of delightful entertainment you haven't heard in a while or maybe have never heard. Go to iTunes, download the whole archive, put them on your phone, and we are always with you. Now, I don't want to raise expectations too high, but the next in line here, we have been working on a Satellite Sisters app. If you can believe it, we're going to have an app, people. But I'm sorry I even mentioned it now, because cause who knows?
That's coming out of the TOC? My goodness.
The TOC, it's on the list. Webmaster Sarah and I, the next big thing we're tackling is the Satellite Sisters app. But please, use the archive, check out everything at iTunes, let us know how it's working for you. Enjoy. And don't forget, call your Satellite Sisters.